This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
That's what I'm talking about. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Hope you guys are having a great morning out there. Happy Wednesday. Happy draft eve. You got Mike Johnson, Squid Billy hanging out with you. And it's like I tell you guys all the time, there's no two people in this city that know as a duo the Atlanta Falcons the way that we do. So we'll keep you guiding all the way through the show today and all the way tomorrow. Obviously, Friday we'll have all the reaction you could ever want from whoever it is the Atlanta Falcons select on Thursday night. And then we're back with you on Saturday, Bo, to hang out and cover the draft on that end.
Yeah,
and then
obviously, noon to four.
What's that?
Noon to four on Saturday.
Yeah, noon to four. Noon to four.
Dude, I feel like the most accomplished person in the world right now. Like, I'm peacocking.
Did you run a marathon or something?
In my basement. What?
You're peacocking. I definitely misheard you. You're peacocking in the basement.
Yeah, you know what peacocking is.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
You got your chest puffed out.
Oh yeah, man. I'm walking off. Like Conor McGregor walking down the UFC, down to the octagon.
Did you clock out on baby duty? Is that what you're saying?
So I told you that we've talked about probably for some people in the audience at nauseam. I do night duty, and I do it because that way Amy can get some sleep, so she can cover while I'm on the air. And during the day, and I can get a little power nap and, you know, do some of the things that I want to do.
Get a workout. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I did. I did a double workout Monday.
That feels good. Is that why you're peacocking right now?
No. So I told you last night, she woke up around 11. Well, we put her down at around 8-something, woke up around 11:45, took a bottle, a little bit fussy, took a few minutes to go to sleep. And she went to sleep, woke up around 4. She took the car into the pits. We got her tire changed, which would be a diaper, and then filled her up with fuel, which would be a bottle, and put her back down. And when I did that at 4, I took her into the bedroom with our other bassinet where Amy was sleeping, and I put her down.
And I was like,
probably going to wake Amy up with this because it was time. Amy's been getting up this time anyways at 4 o'clock. So I went upstairs, filled up my water bottle, and put my Mio in it.
Yuck.
And I go, man, it's quiet up here. All the only thing that's on is I left the TV on in the living room on SportsCenter. I said, it's quiet. So I'm tiptoeing back there in my Puma slippers, and I get in there and I'm peeking. Everybody's quiet in the bedroom.
Puma
and I put my hand on Pork Chop, you know, because I don't want to turn a light on, shine a light in everybody's eyes.
Sure.
Just to make sure, you know, all is well in the world. And I'm like, man, she's been asleep. She's been back for almost 3 hours.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Now we're cooking.
I did it. We did it because she's been up at like 5:30, 6 a.m. Monday and Tuesday since we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And so.
Nothing better, dude.
I came downstairs. I had my arms flailing. My chest popped out.
Yeah.
I was peacocking.
You should Conor McGregor that thing.
Yeah.
Walking around
pumped.
Like that. That a boy. There's nothing better.
I feel great. Anyways.
Yeah, you should.
Draft.
You should. Anyways, yeah, let's talk draft. Look, man, we were going to talk draft anyways. You brought up an idea, and I want you to frame it because I think what you brought up actually might be the best possible scenario for me personally. It's two guys that I'm not sure fit at 15, but that I've fallen in love with that are sort of in the 20s, maybe in the second round. And you brought up the scenario a minute ago. I was like, we need to talk about this. Because to me, and I've said it before and I said it yesterday, I don't think the Falcons are trading back. They just – I think they'd be more likely to trade up in the second, which they've done the last few years, than actually trade back in the first. But hopefully maybe it'll happen. And the scenario you brought up to me was
– all right, so here's the deal. Let's say the Falcons trade back in mid-20s. And they gain an extra, I don't know, an extra second or something like that, right? Because depending on how far the team's coming up has value and you know, you're going to swap ones and then figure it out from there. But let's just say that they trade back and they get Walter Nolan, who is an interior defensive lineman. Now you've essentially replaced Grady Jarrett with a guy that, based on tests and everything,
yes,
is and projections, is kind of sounds more like an Aaron Donald-esque player with the things that he can do and his size than Grady Jarrett. Not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald, just saying that's how people have talked about him. And then with that extra second or whatever, you have your second, but you're going to get another one. You go get Nick Skowerton from Texas A&M, 6'3", around 255. Dane Brugler, who works for The Athletic, probably has the best draft guide player breakdown out there. He does as well as anybody. It's called The Beast, as you said. Calls him a banshee off the edge. And I'm not talking about the four-wheeler banshee. I am talking about that's how this guy plays, and this guy had 15 sacks in the last two seasons. He was asked to play at a higher weight last year, but he's going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but your traditional more hand in the dirt edge. I think he could stand up, but you're gonna use him in a plethora of ways. But he would probably have his hand in the dirt more times than not. And look, that still allows you to go get let's see, hold on here, a Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, the cornerback.
Long,
athletic. Maybe you want a tackle, like the Donovan Jackson of Ohio State. And I'm naming some guys that Josh Kendall, our good friend from The Athletic, threw out there. But, I mean, what would you think of doubling up with a Walter Nolan, a Nick Skowerton, not whatever Mark Ross claimed he was. But Mark Ross, before I get your take, I want everyone to hear what Mark Ross told us yesterday from the NFL Network, former Giants personnel guy, what he thought of Nick Skowerton.
Shamar Stewart and Scroton are, you know, just a fascinating test case, though, what you do and how you scout, where if you just turn on the tape, you didn't know their names or anything, and you just say, who's a better player, you would go Nick. You know, every 9 out of 10 would say, oh, that guy right there, he's better. He's making more plays. He's having more of an impact. He plays harder. He's more consistent. Well, then now you throw in the whole thing with scouting. Well, Shamar Stewart was the number one recruit, and he's 6'6", 6'5", and 280, and he ran 4.43, all of that, which confuses people.
Yeah, you know who else was the number one recruit? Walter Nolan. And that was in the Travis Hunter year that they were both kind of consensus. No, and I don't know what you say Scout and I say Scorton. I don't know what the heck Mark Ross was just saying. I don't even want to go there with what he just sounded like.
Sounds like part of the male anatomy.
So to me, when you break it down, if they were able to trade back and somehow find Scorton. Now, you and I have been all over Scorton since the first time we ever watched him. Yeah.
Because you know why?
Because he's good?
No. To me, why? And what you and I talked about? Because he plays like a banshee off the edge. Yeah. I love that description.
There are ups and downs to every single person outside of Abdul Carter that's an edge rusher that's been mentioned in the first round. There's James Pierce concerns. There's Ezeraku concerns. There are Shamar Stewart. There's Mykel Williams. There's either lack of productivity. There is translation in the NFL. There is level of competition. Whatever it is. Off-field concern. You name it. I look at Nick Skorton, though, and he looks to me like a guy that just fits. He played at a very high level for a Texas A&M program. He did have the numbers. He looks on film like you want him to look. And he has everything that you would look for. Now, he's not as high on a lot of draft boards, you know, to our points from yesterday and the reason Mark Ross brought him up. But when you look at him as compared to what Shamar Stewart was in college, he looks to me like the better prospect. Now, Shamar Stewart, like Mark Ross said, number one, you know, recruit, whatever you want to call him. The combine was off the charts. Somebody's going to get a good player in him. But at the right price, and I think that's why you talk about the best possible scenario, at the right price, if you were to trade back and you could get a combination of Walter Nolan and Nix Cortin, that is 1A, Bo, on scenarios for me for the Atlanta Falcons, is that you would trade back and you would get a combination of a guy like a Walter Nolan and a guy like a Nix Cortin. I think your defensive line, your front seven, immediately changes.
And the reason that Scorton, let's just call him Scorton because that's you're going to go with that. I'll go with that because I want to make sure we're calling him the same thing. People aren't confused. It's not scrotum. But the thing is that Scorton doesn't blow you away with athletic ability and talent, which is what the draft is based on, basically. That's what Mark was saying, that Shamar Stewart blows you away with this athletic testing, and Scorton doesn't really do it that way. The problem is Scorton plays, like you said, a banshee, like his hair is on fire. You know, aren't there – how many guys have we heard about that honestly don't necessarily blow you away with this athletic ability, but all of a sudden become Hall of Famers because of their mentality, because of their work ethic, because of how they play? And so I'll take a guy that's got a little above average athletic testing but plays like that, then a guy with all due respect to Shamar Stewart, then test off the charts, but the production's not there.
Yeah.
You know, I know Mykel Williams was injured last year, but I have questions. Jalen Walker, I don't. Jalen Walker has both, Mike. He has the athletic ability, and he plays with his hair on fire.
I think you and I have always assumed that Jalen Walker would be the first one off the board until recently, and a lot of people start to have Mykel Williams that are sliding up. And to me, Mykel Williams and Shamar Stewart are very similar prospects. They were asked to do a lot of the same things in college, and we have questions about what both of their outputs were, and we want to draft them as edge rushers. Buddy, they were playing in a four-eye. They were B-gap players more times than not in college. Mykel Williams, obviously, with some injuries. Shamar Stewart, just not asked, because of Nix Cortin a lot of times, not asked to rush the edge. So, you know, there's a lot of questions about everybody involved. And I think you and I have always just assumed that Jalen Walker would go before Mykel Williams until here recently. And I won't be mad if either one of those guys come to Atlanta. But I think when you talk about best-case scenarios, there's a lot of things to talk about if you're trading back. Right, and I think we'll try to keep that in mind as we move throughout the show. A lot more NFL draft conversation to come on the other side. We're going to go in the huddle. We want the Falcons to trade back, sure. But there are two other teams that have very high draft picks that are trading calls to move back. I'll tell you who that is and who they might be willing to do business with coming up on the other side. Stick with us here. It's In the Huddle coming up on the morning show. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm going to go in the huddle in just a second. Reminder, we'll have a wake-up call today at 8 o'clock, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Want to hear if you think it is possible that Kirk Cousins has moved this weekend. What do you think about him showing up to voluntary workouts? And also, do you think aliens are real? Straight up. I know that Bo doesn't. Although, it's really not on brand for Bo, Dylon. Because he was just sitting in here. Do what?
It's not off brand.
Well, the thing is, you talk about how, you know, you have started to understand that conspiracy theories are real. A lot of conspiracy theories have come true. But that yet, at the same time, you don't believe in aliens, which would kind of be a conspiracy theory coming
true. Well, you know
why?
Because everyone believes in aliens, I feel like, these days. Everyone's like, yeah, I believe in them. And I'm like, why? Well, I don't know. There's just like, you know, there's just too much stuff out there that says that they are there. Then, you know, and it's almost the conspiracy theory is to not believe in them.
So you just don't believe them because you want to go against the grain. That's what
no, I don't believe in them for I don't believe in them for other reasons. And you know, I think you know some of those. I don't want to there's things we don't talk about on sports. You know, but you know some of the religious beliefs I don't necessarily believe in them. But I don't think they're real. Mm-hmm. Now, and I also think you know after all these years, all the things we've declassified. Why haven't we done that? I mean, what's the harm? What is the harm of the American people knowing that there's something that most of them already believe in anyways is there, if it's there?
First of all, I think a lot of it has been declassified. We're not going to go down this road. A lot of it has been declassified. I can't tell you how many documentaries there are out there with somebody testified before Congress as some kind of colonel from the military that's like, hey, you know what? I saw one with my own eyes. Yeah. I dissected one.
No, yeah. No, there's never been like that.
Yes, yeah,
there's
also, has.
There's never. I've never seen anything testify where guys like I dissected an alien, unless you were talking about the film Independence
Day. Documentaries.
There's a show called Finding Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Yet they've never found him.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that's a whole different conversation.
I mean, I believe in Sasquatch before I believe in aliens.
It's a little bit harder. This is. Setting us up so good for Which One Wednesday is coming up at 7:40. But it's probably a little bit harder to find aliens, you know, a couple million miles away than it is Sasquatch over in, you know, Mount Cheehaw State Park over in Alabama, okay?
No,
I'm
really.
Just throwing that out there.
Not if you believe, I mean, I don't know. Look, we can have this conversation back and forth. If you
8 o'clock, wake up call.
447. All I'm saying is, if you believe in aliens, then you believe in Area 51. And all of us there, but why wouldn't it doesn't make sense.
Area 51 exists. Speaking of
yeah, but
believing,
that doesn't mean it's alien
let's
stuff.
Let's go ahead in the huddle. Listen, if you missed that conversation earlier, Bo was using the metaphor that there's just some people that refuse to believe that Kirk Cousins could be on this roster when the season starts. And he's like, there's no reason ever given. It's just that you just don't want to believe it. It's almost like people with aliens. Like, I just want to believe there's aliens out there. There's no proof of anything. You have no reasoning behind it. One way or the other. It's just what you want to believe and how you kind of see things. So, again, 404-726-0929. Your thoughts on Kirk Cousins showing up at the voluntary workouts yesterday.
It just can't be.
Yeah, just
can't happen.
It just can't
but
happen.
But why? Because it just can't.
Yeah, can't be that way.
Good reason.
Speaking of which, we have talked about the fact that Kirk Cousins shows up at voluntary workouts. We heard from Albert Breer just a couple of weeks ago about how he wasn't expected to show up at workouts, that he wasn't expected to be a part of what they were doing, and when it came to voluntary stuff, we wondered at the time if it was agent speak. It absolutely turns out to be agent speak. Kirk Cousins shows up yesterday. He has said a number of times, or his camp has said a number of times, that he won't accept a deal. You know, unless it's after the first round, except a trade, doesn't want to get the whole same situation dealt with last year. I don't know. I don't know if that plays into the Falcons' hand or not, but there are a couple of teams, Bo, that I want to bring up that are fielding trade calls as the NFL draft nears. That is the Browns and the Giants. Now, I want to start with the Giants. The Giants need to be careful. The Giants need to be very, very careful with what they're doing here because they are already in a situation where Brian Daboll could have been fired last year. Joe Schein, the GM who was a part of that Hard Knocks offseason, came out of there looking absolutely brutal to the point where nobody even wants to do Hard Knocks anymore. They're like, dude, do you remember what happened to Joe Schein?
Well, they don't want to do the off-season version, I'll tell you
for
that.
For sure. You definitely don't want anybody in your draft conversations, I can tell you that.
I thoroughly enjoyed the off-season version of Hard Knocks. But, you know, when you do it, you know, and it's unfair because of how good Philly is in so many different places.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, see, it could have been New York. No, it wouldn't have been New York because they don't have Jalen Hurts. They don't have, I don't know, the best offensive line in football and probably the best defensive line in football either.
Yeah.
If I'm the Giants, I need a guy like Ashton Jeanty with Russell Wilson.
That's fair.
And
that's,
I need something.
Back to his offseason Hard Knocks where he trades Saquon or lets Saquon walk. That's not a good look.
But if I'm the Browns, because, you know, if it's either I would entertain it, but man, pairing Myles Garrett with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Okay.
Very appealing.
Let me just throw this out there. And I had this, somebody asked me this through a text message yesterday. This is not going to happen, but somebody asked me and I just, it gave me pause for 1 minute. If you had the opportunity with Cleveland to send them Kirk Cousins and every draft pick you had so that you could land Abdul Carter, would you do it? Kirk Cousins and every draft pick else?
No.
15, 46, your fourth rounder, both sevenths, and Kirk Cousins to get Abdul Carter.
Let me say this.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but it made me pause for a minute.
I want to say yes because you're saying that Abdul Carter – by saying yes, you're saying Abdul Carter is what – we think he's supposed to be, which is Myles Garrett or something like that, Micah Parsons, right? A transformative defensive playmaker.
Right.
The problem is I need playmakers at multiple positions, and that's why I brought up the scenario that we talked about at 7 o'clock where you trade back and you're able to get two guys I think could start right now for this defense in Skowerton and Walter Nolan.
Yep.
So, to me – I need more than just one player, so it's hard for me to say I would do that.
Yeah, not only that, but I think if you added a third rounder, because you're trading back in that scenario, if you added another pick, say, in the third round, you were looking at somebody that the Falcons have been linked to, maybe like a Demetrius Knight from South Carolina, the linebacker who has got a level of athleticism.
Smile Mundon?
Yeah, Smile Mundon, I think that could be there as well. But I think that you have opportunities, to your point, if you were to trade back, to add a pick, in the third round, which you do not have. Shout out to Matthew Judon. And so I think the opportunity is always there.
Yeah. I'm more mad about that than I am the Kirk Cousins.
I am too. And I know that one's a third rounder, one's a fifth. But, dude, the Matthew Judon thing, there's a reason that Matthew Judon's afraid. I'm just throwing that out there, man. Like, there is a reason that this guy is not back on this roster right now, even though he would probably be extremely cheap. Which even at, like, I have even more questions about the fact that Matthew Judon played the way he did last year at the effort level that he did, given the fact that he was entering free agency and wanted a new contract.
I wonder if he plays this year.
The whole thing blows my mind. Like, I don't understand any of that at all. Nonetheless, man, the Browns and the Giants are fielding trades. And if you're out there wondering, where are they at? So the Browns have number two. The Giants have number three. Mel Kiper right now has Cleveland selecting Travis Hunter and New York taking Abdul Carter. And Vegas wouldn't be picking. They're the ones next selected to take Ashton Jeanty at number six. So I guess my question is, there's going to be a trade inside the top five at some point, Bo. I don't know where it comes from or what it does. I don't know who falls because of the trade. I'm going to guess maybe Travis Hunter, although I want him to go very high. But I think there's a lot of pressure on whoever takes Travis Hunter.
Well, there's too much talk around that of what he's going to do, where he's going to play. But I just think Travis Hunter, at the end of the day, is probably going to be the best player in this draft when we talk about him, in the top five anyways, and when we talk about him in 5 years. He's just too good. He's too good as a defensive back, and he can come in on offense and just be give you a pop here and there. I just think he's too much of a playmaker.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you about Travis Hunter, although somebody did bring up the scenario with me yesterday, and they were like, there's a lot of talk about him going both ways and the possibility of him going both ways. Is there anything that makes you fearful about Travis Hunter? Because now, if he does get injured, you're losing a player on offense and on defense. Like, you're losing a significant part of your game plan on both sides.
But, no, I think he is going to be used in situationally on offense is where you want to use him, like red zone or – you know, you built in some plays for him. To me, though, Travis Hunter is as good of a thing, as good of a human off the field from everything I've seen and heard as he is on the field as a player.
Yeah.
And you can't pass up people like that.
Yeah. Real quick before we got to go to break, because we are going to do a Which One Wednesday. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys working on pretty substantive trades. They've got 10 selections. When you hear substantive trades, and I know there's a lot out there about Michael Parsons and whether or not they can sign him to a long-term deal, and he's not coming to these workouts and everything else going on. But when I hear that they've got 10 draft picks, to me, when I hear substantive trades, that means that they're trying to move up for somebody. They're trying to move up and grab somebody. If you've got 10 picks out there, you're trying to make some noise. And, you know, their money situation is tight because of their superstars. But when you got 10 selections, dude, you can make a lot of things happen.
They could use an Ashton Jeanty.
They definitely could.
I mean, I'm throwing that name out there because running back's value is suddenly great. And I heard someone said Steve Weiss on Dukes and Bell said it Monday. He said the running back value in the first round, if you're not going to pay into that, if with a playmaker like that, it's crazy good.
Yeah.
When you have a difference maker like him.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Braves, and we're going to get to Which One Wednesday and mic'd up. I got a couple to throw out at these guys. I'll go ahead and give Dylan and Bo a little bit of a preview. Who's more likely to throw a pass for the Atlanta Falcons next year? Is it Easton Stick or is it Kirk Cousins? And how about this one? What's more likely to be real, Bigfoot or aliens? Stick with us here. Which One Wednesday coming at you? Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. There it is, Dylan. Coheed and Cambria. Welcome home. Used to kill this on the drums on Rock Band, dude, back in the day. When I was like, I don't know, 20, which was, you know, almost 20 years ago, coming up on that big 4-0 very, very soon. Not very soon, but, you know, it feels like it anyways. That's another story for another day. Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo and Dylan hanging out with you here on a Wednesday morning. The draft eve, NFL draft eve. And we'll get to Which One Wednesday on Mic'd Up here in just a second. But we're going to talk a little bit of Braves, Bo. And hopefully you got a chance to check out the bullpen game that was last night between bottle feedings for Baby Pork Chop. And it was fun until it wasn't. The Braves were obviously going with the bullpen arms throughout the game because of the news that Spencer Strider has hit the IL. And by the way, ding, Spencer Strider, a grade one strain, which is the lowest level. It doesn't sound like he's going to miss too much time. But the Braves obviously start off last night with Scott Blewett. Aaron Bummer comes in, throws well. And then the rest of the bullpen kind of falls apart. Montero was not very good. Dylan Lee gets a blown save. De Los Santos got shelled. And then Wiles, obviously, with a with an inning pitched, it was not very good, and it was a lot of missed opportunities. You and I have talked a lot off the air and on about Ozzie Albies and what he is in the five hole. He's not very good right now. The middle infield defense doesn't seem to be very, very good right now. But your thoughts on at least give me what you thought about Scott Blewett last night? It's the first time we've had a chance to check him out, and he starts the game.
Look, I personally didn't have any issues with Blewett. I know he gave up the home run. He made a mistake. But I loved what he saw because I think it's a guy that can give you a couple innings. Ideally, you don't want Scott Blewett trying to throw four innings, all right? And I thought Grant had I think it was Grant that tweeted it last night. I'm pretty positive. He was like, if your air quote opener goes like more than two innings, is he really an opener?
He did say
and
that.
He's not. He's a starter at that point. You had to make him it was a spot start for Scott Blewett. It's a solid point because to me it shows you that right now was a solid pickup for the Braves and Scott Blewett.
Yeah, it was very much to me Brian Snicker feeling his way through it. And I think that when you it's like he's like looking at him going, I didn't think he was going to be this good. And then he was pretty good. Here's what Brian Snicker had to say about it.
I did a good job. You know, anytime he gets us into the fourth inning in that situation, you know, I liked what I saw. You know, it was good. I was, you know, hoping he could get through those right-handers at the top, and then maybe, you know, we could have pushed Bummer a little, maybe even a little farther. But I thought he did an okay job.
Yeah, I thought Bummer did fine too. Yeah, and Bummer was good. And I asked you this question on social last night. Who's the Braves' best reliever? Like, if you needed a clean inning, who do you go to? My answer after last night's Aaron Bummer.
Mine's Deisabel Hernandez.
Okay.
But because when you asked, to me it felt the way you tweeted that, I took it as a high leverage situation.
Yes.
Dylan Lee came in a high leverage situation last night, and he I thought he looked okay. I mean, I think didn't was
he gets
Lee the one?
He gets the blown save, but the run was not his.
Yeah. but he had the pass ball, right?
Yeah.
Dazabal Hernandez has been phenomenal to start the season. He has matured in front of our eyes. And I think if I need one out or one inning of high leverage relief right now, that's probably the guy I'm going to because his stuff is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we'll get to obviously more of the Braves throughout the show today. We also got Wake Up Call coming up at 8 o'clock today. We've been talking a lot about aliens. Do you believe in aliens and why? Well, that'll be a fun conversation. 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. Got the Twitter going today at MPJohnson79, at SquidBilly929. Holler at us, man. Want to hear your thoughts on Kirk Cousins showing up to the voluntary OTAs. Does that change your opinion? Does him showing up to voluntary practices or whatever, workouts, does that change your opinion on the future of Kirk Cousins or who he is as a teammate? So we'll make sure we hook that up as well. For right now, though, let's hit Mic'd Up. You know the deal. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. We're going to hit a Which One Wednesday. Going to have a lot of fun here. I am hosting. Dylon and Bo will face off with one another. We don't have a judge. Day-Day has moved on to bigger and better things with our buddies Dukes and Bell in the afternoons. He's been killing it listening to Day-Day hook it up. So happy for him as obviously Chris Thomas doing the evenings these days. A lot of changes, but still the same lovable personalities like you guys always love to remind us here at 92.9. So thanks for hanging out. We're going to start off here, guys, and I'll start with you, Bo, on this one. Was posed this question yesterday, and Abe Gordon and I talked about it a little bit off air, Earth Day at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm. Who is going to be in Atlanta longer from this point? From this point on, who will be an Atlanta sports figure from this point on longer? Ronald Acuna or Trae Young? With everything swirling about both of these guys over the last few days, does Trae Young sign the extension? Can they win a championship with him? Does Ronald Acuna like it here? Does he like the future of this organization? Are we going to pay him when the time comes? Bo, I'll start with you. Who from this point moving forward will be here longer? Is it Ronald Acuna or is it Trae Young?
Well, it's Trae Young. And it's all based on money because the Hawks will be able to pay the max deal for Trae Young, which is not as much. I don't think it's the Supermax, and Dylan can correct me in his point if I'm wrong, but I don't think they can pay him the Supermax because of that those stipulations about first team this and
all-star
game that. But I think it's Trae Young because here's the deal. Ronald Acuna Jr. has had two knee surgeries, and he signed an 8-year deal that was worth $100 million. His club option is up after 28, and so in 2029 – Ronald Acuna Jr. will be signing a $1 billion deal with someone to play out his – because he'll be 31 at that point. And the Braves don't sign players over 30 to 8 to 9 year deals worth that type of money.
Yep.
They just don't. They won't unless somehow they get a new ownership group.
Yeah. All right, Dylon, what do you think? Who's going to be here longer from this point moving forward? Who's here longer? Is it Trae Young or is it Ronald Acuna?
To me, it's Ronald Acuna Jr. And Bo is correct. The Hawks can't give Trae Young the most amount of money Trae Young could potentially make, but they can still give Trae Young the max amount of money. And that's all fine and dandy. However, what do we see more in the NBA now and time again? When stars get a little bit older, they've gotten their bag, and Trae Young is going to get two big bags from the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not debating the fact that Trae Young isn't about to get paid again by the Hawks, but once Trae Young gets a little bit longer in the tooth, it's going to be a situation where Trae Young is going to be ready to chase championships if he's not already gotten one with the Hawks, and I'm not sure that's going to happen. And he's going to move on and be ready to go to either the Lakers or whatever team is hot at that point. Ronald Acuna Jr., on the other hand, I do believe that he is going to be an exception, maybe the first exception. And the Braves, before his contract goes up, they're going to find a way to extend him and come to some sort of number where they both can agree on.
There he is, man. I hope both those guys stay here and win multiple rings. Obviously, doesn't usually happen, and we'll keep our fingers crossed nonetheless. All right, I gotta hit this question. I teased this. Bo was like complaining because he's like, you already gave my answer to this. So I'll let Dylon answer this, and it turns into a two-part question. But Dylon, which one is more likely to be real? Is it Bigfoot or is it it's aliens?
To me, it is actually aliens, and I don't even know how this could be a debate because outside of our atmosphere, for me personally, it is very hard for me to believe that there is not some sort of one other life form. One other life form in some way, shape, or form. I'm not saying it's in the stereotypical way we look at an alien and how, you know, people have made aliens look in movies and things like that. But there is some other sort of life form out there. And I don't know if there's some, you know, 7-foot Chewbacca-looking creature out there in the woods.
I want to
That's all right. First off, you believe in something that you've never seen. You don't even know what it could look like.
Never seen Bigfoot.
That doesn't even seem possible. But you don't believe in a real life Wookiee. Well, I mean, we look, and which would look like
you can't bring. Hang on.
But to your
you
point,
you can't bring up a Star Wars character and with every other character in there, which are aliens, by the way. And to use that as evidence.
It's my turn. It's my turn. You already talked, Dylan.
Go ahead.
Dylan did it. He brought up Chewbacca, okay, which is a Wookiee.
Okay.
But the point is that Bigfoot looks like a mix between, and half the, you know, there's a lot of people out here that believe in evolution anyways.
Neanderthal.
And what would a Bigfoot be? It's kind of a mixture between a gorilla, a human, a giant, I mean, all kinds of things.
We got to move on because I got a lot more sports-related questions here, but we're going to get back to that one in just a second. All right, how about this one? Bo, we'll start with you. Who ends up with more wins this year, Grant Holmes or Spencer Strider? Grant Holmes 2-1 right now. Spencer Strider back on the shelf. Who ends up with more wins this year, Grant Holmes or Spencer Strider?
It's you know what? Screw it. I'm going Grant Holmes.
Okay.
Because until Spencer Strider can show me that he can stay healthy, then I can't go with him.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Spencer Strider doesn't go deep in games.
We got to go quick. Dylan, what do you think?
You don't go against 9-9 like that. It's Spencer Strider, man. He's going to come back.
I haven't seen 9-9 do anything in a year.
He's going Well, he's going to come back, and he's going to be healthy, and then he's going to show you something, Bo. Spencer Strider.
Yeah. Well, he ain't doing it right now.
Real quick before we get back to the alien conversation, 40 years since New Coke. You remember New Coke, the old debacle? I think it was 86. 40 years since that happened. Here's the question. Better soda, Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew? Dylan, we'll start with you. Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew?
Dr. Pepper. I mean, it's way more flavorful. Now, some of the variations of Mountain
24
Dew.
24 flavors in there? What is it?
23. But some of the variations of Dr. Pepper are good. I mean, excuse me, of Mountain Dew are good.
Yeah.
But Dr. Pepper don't need variations.
All right. What do you think,
The OG is the best.
What do you think, Bo? Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Mountain Dew don't need different flavors either. Mountain Dew is phenomenal. In fact, Mountain Dew is so freaking good that the Diet Mountain Dew is almost as good as regular Mountain Dew. You can't say that about Dr. Pepper. Mountain Dew is the greatest drink ever, especially if you're from Pawtucket County.
All right, I got two more. We got to go quick. Who is more likely to throw a pass for the Atlanta Falcons this year? Is it Easton Stick or is it Kirk Cousins? But we'll start with you.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
No, just clear cut.
I mean, it's clear cut because, dude, Easton Stick, come on, man.
Right.
Come on.
It's Kirk Cousins for me, too. I mean, we know, we've speaking about it, both sides have shown their hand. The Falcons are perfectly clear, are fine keeping him on the roster.
All right, we'll finish here. Let's just say that aliens are real and they do visit this planet. Which one of you guys is more likely for them to want to study? Who? If the aliens show up here and they look at Dylan and they look at Bo and they're like, man, we got to take a look at that guy. Which one of you is more likely to be studied by the aliens? Dylan, we'll start with you.
I think they're going to – I'm going to say me just for a couple of reasons. One is because I'm a person of color, and so I think, you know, me being in a minority group, I think
– You think that matters to the aliens?
I mean, I don't know if it matters to aliens, but –
Well,
but
you
to
just
them,
brought race into an alien conversation. I'm out. You can have this one.
I'm not trying to be like that.
I'm out.
All I'm saying is because when the aliens see us and they're going to have the advanced technology to scan everybody, they're going to see that, you know, I'm one of the ones that look a little bit different. And, you know – I think
you
with
don't
me
look
being
different
a little,
to the aliens.
Well, that's true.
They're really going to be equal opportunity aliens dialogue.
And I think maybe because I'm taller.
You should have led with that.
I wasn't trying to
look
make it like
on
that, man.
Face right now. He's like, what is this guy like talking that, man. About, man? Anyways, Bo, I'm assuming. I don't know. What do you think? Who are they going to study?
I was going to say me because as soon as they hear me start talking, they're like, what in the hell? We got to figure out what's going on in this person's
brain. You know
brain.
What? They would be like, "Hey, that might be Bigfoot's friend."
I mean, they're like, "What makes a creature sound and think like this?"
Yeah.
But you know, Dylan pulled the race card on me, so I don't know what to do.
404-726-0929, man, if you want to weigh in on either Which One Wednesday stuff. How do you feel about Kirk Cousins? Does it change your mind about the situation around Kirk Cousins that he shows up to voluntary workouts yesterday? Also, are aliens real? 404-726-0929. It's Wake Up Call on the other side of the break. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.